Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet. And we also hold the heads of government worldwide that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Notice your thoughts, presencing yourself to the right now, releasing thoughts of the future or the past. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning disc, all the way up, even through your neck area, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Now focus your attention at the point between your eyebrows. And know as I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. It is the fullness of divine wisdom, understanding, intelligence. It is creativity itself and unconditional love. It truly is omnipresent, everywhere present. Therefore, this presence and power expresses not only around me, but in me, and through me, and as me. In all ways, for always. This morning I expand my awareness of transformation, of inspiration, of encouragement and acknowledgement. I am inspired by the gift of life itself. I acknowledge and appreciate people, things, circumstances that have brought me to this time and place in my own unfoldment of consciousness. I thank all my teachers that supported me in my discovery of who I am and who I am not. Underlying the people, events, conditions, I recognize the infinite presence and power in, through, and as those people, events. And thank you, and happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. both present and on the tape. And at the center, we look at Mother's Day exoterically in that we've all had mothers, and some of us have birthed children, so we are natural mothers. And of course, parenting gives our children roots and wings, hopefully. And esoterically, it's what are each of us birthing into our lives moment by moment. That we're creating our own reality, and quantum physics says that nothing which is observed is unaffected by the observer. So there's the inner meaning and the outer meaning of Happy Mother's Day. I just want to share with you a little bit about just a couple of things that I received for Mother's Day, besides phone calls, and I know that they'll be calling this afternoon, and I'm going to be on the ferry, so that's fine. But one of my sons gave me this a number of years ago, and you know, sometimes we say a lot of things to our mothers or people that we're acknowledging. The topic today is someone was there, someone was there. So, of course, I want to speak a little bit about acknowledging and appreciating people. But this was, my youngest son gave me this a while ago. A mom is someone you love for being there with warmth and understanding when you need it, for sharing your disappointments as well as your successes, for having confidence in your dreams and plans. A mom is someone you love for doing thoughtful things to show she cares, and for filling your life with her special love and kindness. And then there's my oldest son, who is a man of few words. And this was the card I received yesterday, from your son with love. Mom, it's really hard for me to find the right card for you. Long verses with flowery words just aren't me. All I want to say is, I love you, because for me, that says it all. Love, Derek. So the reason I share that, besides just wanting to you to know me and my family a little bit more, is sometimes it can be many words, and sometimes it can just be a few words, how we can make a difference. Norman and I have been married over 30 years, and we were great card selectors and givers, and he doesn't drive a car anymore, so he doesn't get out to buy cards. And this morning when I was putting the dog to cuddle with him in bed, because when I get up, then Rosie takes my place, Norman handed me a folded piece of paper, and I quietly crept out of the room, and I'd like to share it with you. Dear Gail, this is my Mother's Day card. I feel bad because I have not been able to buy you one as I used to. I love and appreciate you so much as always. I want to tell you how very much I appreciate everything you do for me. I never thought of not being able to do the many things that you now do for me. I hope I'll get most of my health back, and I find it difficult not to be able to speak as I used to. I find it good for me to go to my Monday meetings. I drive Norman to a stroke recovery club where there's 70 and 80 people there, and they have conversation there. Guided conversation. I find it good for me to go to my monthly meetings, as I see that there are about 70% of the people there that have it worse than me. As they share, it gives me a sense of appreciation for how well I still am. But I compare me to the old Norman I used to. And sometimes I don't thank you enough for all that you do for me, and I'm sorry. Thank you for being such a good wife to me. I love you very much, and thanks for hanging in there for me Have a good quiet week at the island and don't worry about me. Thank you. A letter can mean so much. And I would invite you to start looking in your life to be the someone was there in someone's life of writing little notes and letters to perhaps people that you have never done that to before. Someone was there. Someone is there, right? Three things I'd like to share with you this morning. Who in your life has been there for you? Sometimes when you've least expected it. And have you acknowledged that to yourself? And have you told them that you appreciate that they were there for you? Second thing is that we need to all acknowledge that all of us, I won't say need, but we require support. Not like leaning, not like saving, but support and encouragement. And the third thing that I'll end with in a few minutes is not so much someone was there, and of course there have been people in our life, but someone is there, always. And you know, it's hard a new thought of what to call the presence and power. Just excuse me, I need to blow my nose. Would you pull my thing down? Thank you. But someone is there all the time. And it's the infinite presence of and power, of course, in, through, and as the people, the circumstance, whatever. And it's sometimes very hard in new thought to say someone, because we realize that the presence and power isn't a body. We can't say something is there, because the presence and power isn't really a thing. It's spirit, it's spiritual. So we do the best we can with the words that we have, but I think you all know what I mean. So let's get back to number one. Who in your life has made a difference for you, but also like they were there for you? I'm a great movie watcher. And actually, I think Terms of Endearment is going to be on, I think, again tonight. Yeah. Very good movie if you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it, good one to even watch a second time. There's so many poignant moments in that movie. And I just always have the tissue box there, you know, because I know even how many times I've seen it. But there's a special part there when Shirley MacLaine's daughter is dying. And she comes from the hospital back to the motel, and the grandkids are playing. And she goes to go up to her room, and she sees Jack Nicholson, whom she's had a relationship with, and then he kind of curtailed it. And he's standing at the top of the stairs, and the look on Shirley MacLaine's face. Do you remember that? And she looks at him and says, "Who'd have thought that you would turn out to be a nice guy?" So it's like that. Like sometimes, you know, it's a surprise. Whenever I'm creating my topics, I ask Norman about it when we're driving, and I ask some friends also. And Monica, I'm sure... I didn't ask permission, but I'm sure you'll be okay with this, because I know it was so heart touching when you shared it with me. I said, Monica, you know, this is what I'm talking about. So who in your life? And she's paused a little bit, and I'm sure she's had many people, but she went way back. And she shared with me that there was a principal in the very small Alberta school, that there were only 13 of them that were to be graduating, and she was the only one graduating that year. And the principal took her aside and said, I think you should go to university. And she didn't even know what university was. But that planted a seed. And then when she went to university, she went the first year, and then she had an operation, appendicitis operation. And she spent some time recovering, and then when it was time to go back, there was no money to go back to finish her to go into her second year. And the dean of education did what it took to get her a scholarship. And what an incredible difference that made to her. And then her whole life continuing from then on. I'm driving along the other day with Norman in the car, and I said, so who in your life, you know, who in your life, dear? Someone was there. And these days, Norman takes a little bit longer to answer, and I have to remember that he's not that quick like that, you know, answer. And I call it mulling. He's kind of mulling. And he said, you, dear. I was thinking back in my own life, way, way back. I was a Tupperware dealer at one point in my life. And my manager said to me, you're going to be the best Tupperware manager that our company has ever had. And I'd only been selling Tupperware about 7 months. Really enjoyed it. People had lots of fun. And I looked at her, and I had the kind of trust with her that I could say what was just going on for me. And I knew how hard she worked for the kind of money she made. And I said to her, before I become a Tupperware manager, I'll check out real estate. You know, but it was her acknowledging my potential that got me to look at, gee, maybe I could check out real estate. And Norman hired me in real estate. Then I remember our general manager on the south side came over one time to drive us to the south side because there were two offices where I was working. And I sat in the front seat of his car, and he had a beautiful new Buick with power steering. This is in the early 70s. And he was like power steering like this with his little finger up, you know. And I said, boy, this is a beautiful car. And he looked at me and he says, you can do very well in real estate, and you will. And you'll be driving a car every bit as good as this. See, sometimes we don't realize what a difference just one little sentence can make. I thought of that when Norman and I drove our new limited edition Lincoln off the lot a few years later. I thought of that. Somebody planted a seed. Somebody planted a seed. Mary Manon Morrissey, my dear friend in Portland, the Life Enrichment Center, Living Enrichment Center, sent me a card, just a few lines, but in there, she said, I believe in you, and I believe in what you can do in and through your church. Those are the kind of cards that are savers for me. Like, I've got a box of saved cards, but, you know, there's some cards that I just kind of keep around. Then I remember somebody that at the center telling me how very much it meant to them that I had taken her aside and acknowledged her one day of something that I had perceived in her. I had perceived about her that she was really straight with people and she cleaned up anything. You know, if there was anything kind of like hanging or withhold or like that. And I told her how much I observed that in her and I appreciated it in her and I really saw her as a woman of integrity. And she told me later, you know, that was just such a blessing to her. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, to blow my horn here, but I'm saying it to, sometimes we think things about people that are complimentary, that are acknowledging, and that are true, and we don't say them. We don't say them. So I'm asking you to be, you know, be that someone was there, like verbally, so that they have something, or, you know, mark it down, or send them a note, or whatever. I remember one of Norm's and my favorite New Thought ministers, who's made his transition now, his name was Fred Vogt. And I'll tell you, he could have been a comedian too, because all of his topics were just laced with little stories and jokes, and he had us laughing in stitches. But he almost came to tears one time when he was sharing at a big international conference with about 2,000 people in the room. And he was talking about how, you know, little things can mean a lot. And his voice cracked a little when he was telling the story of how there was somebody in his congregation who had since passed away that always used to sit on the aisle seat. And as Fred came up to do his topic, topic of the day, he would say, "Get him, Tiger," with a thumbs up. And he said that meant so much to me. And I heard that even before I was a minister, before I even thought of being a minister. And then I think of somebody like Brian Hawksworth. There's lots of things about Brian. One of the things that I really appreciate about him is 90% of the time when he comes here, he looks me in the eye and he says, "We're going to have a wonderful celebration today." And I know within that he includes everyone, but he also includes that I'm going to be wonderful also. And I just want to tell you, Brian, it means a lot to me. And sometimes people see people like me up here and it's like looks easy, and sometimes it's very easy and sometimes it's a little difficult. And you know, I want to remind you that little things mean a lot. Little things mean a lot. Sometimes people say to me, "Oh, it was so good as always." And what I'd request you to do is look to see what really made a difference in that topic and tell me something specific. What was it that touched your heart? I really want to know that. Because the as always kind of, you know, like that. Oh, I've got so much more to share with you. I could, I think this topic is going to be a little longer this morning. I remember when I had my near-death experience and came home from the hospital after intensive care and 5 operations, and my sister Holly, the one that I told you about last week, that I said the way my sister shows me that she loves me is she doesn't call me. That's true. But anyway, she phoned and she said, "I was so worried about you." And then I said, "You know, if I had died, Holly, would you come to the funeral?" She said, "Of course I'd be there." I said, "Don't wait. Don't come. When I die, don't come. Come now. I want you to come now." So her and her husband jumped in the car and drove from Winnipeg to Edmonton for Thanksgiving Day for us. At memorial services, I usually share a poem, which I won't today because I've shared it so many times before, it is too late. But whenever I share that during the memorial service, invariably, people are crying, and it's not only the people in the front row who's close to the person who has just made their transition. Because the before it is too late, it's about telling them, show them that you care for them before it is too late. There's people in the audience that are realizing that there's people in their lives that they love absolutely, that they appreciate, that somebody has done something for them, to them, or said something that has made a difference, and they haven't communicated it. They haven't communicated it. Many of you who've come to the center for many years know I always tell this story once or twice a year, so bear with me. And as you listen to this story, think of, so who in your life have you acknowledged since you last heard this story? My mom died when I was 16, and my dad when I was 19, but when my mom died at 16, I went to live with an uncle and aunt that had no children. And my uncle was quite a jokester, a very, very humorous man. And we laughed a lot in that house, and I realized when I grew up, there was hardly any laughter in my family of origin house. But after, when I was 16, I moved to my Uncle Sinky and Auntie Terry's place. And when I was in my 30s, I decided I would pick out a special Father's Day card for my Uncle Sinky, because he didn't have children. They didn't have children. And I picked out a special card for him, and I wrote in it. And I said, Uncle Sinky, I never told you how much you meant to me and how much the humor meant to me. And I want to tell you that I love you so much. And I sent it. And I sent it early. And a few days later, the phone rang, and it was my Auntie Terry, his wife. And she said, Uncle Sinky cried when he got your card, Gail. He sat down at the kitchen table and cried. And he said to his wife, no one except you, dear, has ever told me that they love me before. And she said, and Gail, I want to tell you, Uncle Sinky died on the golf course this morning. And I thought, I could have missed that opportunity. I could have missed sending him to realms of light with only one person ever telling him that he was loved on this plane. So don't hold back. Do not hold back. Remember Leo Buscaglia, Dr. Love? He's now made his transition, but I saved this from a long time ago, and this was a woman writing to her husband in Vietnam. It was during the Vietnam War. And she says, remember the day I borrowed your car and dented it? I thought you'd kill me, but you didn't. Remember when we went to the beach and I said it'll rain and it didn't? And I thought you'd say I told you so, but you didn't. Remember when I spilled pie on the new rug in your new car? I thought you'd pound me, but you didn't. Remember the time I flirted to make you jealous and I thought you'd leave me, but you didn't. Remember the dance? I forgot to tell you it was formal. And I thought you'd drop me, but you didn't. There were lots of things you didn't do. Yet you put up with me and loved me. And there were lots of things I wanted to tell you and make up to you when you got back, but you didn't. Sometimes it's not a someone, sometimes it's a something. Sometimes it's a circumstance. I'll be leading the course, Co-Creators, in the fall, which is a graduate course of Love at the Core. And one of the exercises that we do in there is we look at some crises in our life, the crises that we've had, and we reflect, what did we do? How were we through that? And how did we grow and what did we learn because of the crises? When an individual or a couple undergo an intense personal tragedy or crises, the process of grieving and adapting to the loss sometimes manifests as a positive change in the way of living for that person. The change in the long run can turn out to be a critical turning point in both the people's lives. Sometimes people say to Norman and I, gee, you guys have been married 30 years and you blended together 9 children, and we confess it was difficult. And when I look back at that, I realize that the crises that we have had, Norm had a near-death experience, a very traumatic stroke years ago, unconscious 4 days, and recovers totally. I had the near-death experience of the automobile collision. His ex-wife was killed in a car collision and his children were injured. My ex-husband just dropped dead one day at work and my children didn't have a natural father then. At the downtimes in real estate, we saw our net worth spiral down $600,000 when the interest rate went up from 8% to 21% all in the course of 1 year. We've had big traumas in our life, but each and every one of those traumas drew us closer rather than apart. And each one of those crises, we learn something in and through. Sometimes our teachers are the ones that make a difference to us. And sometimes it's not only the teachers that point out to us some life-changing ideas or principles, but sometimes, whether we want to call them our teachers or not, they challenge us and press our buttons. Sometimes there's a little bit squirming cheek to cheek in the seat. They provide us with an opportunity to receive value and to transcend our experience. I remember Terry Cole Whitaker one time saying, sadly, few people seek these types of teachers. Instead, many people react, become angry, and because of their anger, they create guilt, or because of their anger, they flee. They withdraw. So when I'm speaking of someone was there, it's not just one, okay? You know, if you're building a building and you just have one support and that one support gives way, the whole building goes down. So what I'm saying is have many people in your lives that you love, appreciate, and acknowledge, and that are of support for you. Not only the person, have activities in your lives that support you. Getting back to this business of our teachers, sometimes we don't call them our teachers, especially if they press our buttons. I have a relative that I would call her a vexation to the spirit. Because She was raised in unhealthy religiosity, and I'm not saying all Christian is unhealthy religiosity, but this church that she was raised in was. And she's always trying to save me and save Norman. And I've been telling her that we didn't need to be saved. But what I realized in my own unfoldment of consciousness is that, you know, sometimes we've got to go deep, go under, go deeper, and go deeper. Underneath all that criticism, underneath all that you should and you shouldn't, and all the rest that she says, is a deep love for us, because she, in her understanding, has been led to believe that if we don't believe the way she does, we'll go to hell when we die. So, you know, sometimes we've got to go really deep. All right, so there's someone. It's not someone was there, it's someone is there. It's the infinite presence and power everywhere present. So as we live our life, could we be a being seeing the higher self within others, that God presence and power within others? And could we come from that higher self of who we really are, the God presence and power within us? And you know, when we, you know, we've done so many topics on love, and there's a whole focus, spiritual focus in February is love. But when we really say, I love you, I truly believe this, that it means when I'm with you, I'm in touch with my own beauty, my own capableness, my own love. I remember, I think it was Jerry Jampolsky one time when he was speaking at one of these big conferences, and in the middle of it, he just stopped and said, I just want to thank you all for being here because I love who I become in your presence. And it's not that we're becoming spiritual. We are spiritual. But we become consciously aware that we are spiritual beings going through a human experience. So I want to thank you for who I become when I'm with you. Our theme this year is Each One, Reach One. It's my hope and wish that in the topic today, that you've been moved in some way, that you truly will go out and reach people. Reach people with your tender heart, with your openness, with your raised consciousness, with your affirmation, with your acknowledgement, and with your appreciation. We won't have any clapping at the end of this topic. I want to complete now with my normal namaste, but we're going to be playing a song for you. It won't be on the tape because it's copywritten. And it's Michael Byers, and it's called Someone Was There. And if some tears come, just allow them, because we can just have a ball here today. And it's a cleansing thing also, right? So the God presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. And I thank you for blessing me this morning.